When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll let you guys vent in just a second. 888-808-1019. Yankee season comes to an end in horrific fashion, blowing Game 5 the way that they did at home. And, you know, BT, there's a lot of reasons for it. And I personally don't look at the manager and think that he's to blame for this. I know it's hard to say that when fundies are so bad. I think it's an organizational thing. I think it's been going on for years. I don't blame Aaron Boone for the Yankees losing this World Series or the way that they lost Game 5.
Yeah, it's time that Aaron Boone gets blame here. Now, listen, everything that I'm about to say is not what I think they're going to do. I want to preface it with, if I own the Yankees, here's how I would process this, okay? So before I get there, I'm going to take you through a little winding road. Your child is in a school, and there is chaos in the school. Hmm. And there is, or there are, lagging historically, verbal, mathematical, poor grades. Is that a reflection on the principal? The answer for me, as I'll answer my own question, the answer is yes, okay?
Right.
So now I get to the Yankees. If your baseball team continuously is substandard, and the metrics back this up defensively and most notably on the bases, and incredibly one-dimensional, does your, not all of it, but does your manager deserve some blame? And my answer is absolutely yes. Now, I've known that. I've always known that to an extent, but his inability to manage the big spots was beyond alarming. And because this is his first World Series, not that the Astros and the championship series in 2012, of course that's a big spot. The World Series is the World Series. Now, as I look at Aaron Boone's run here, it's been good, and I like him. I think he's a great man. We're past that point of evaluation. To me, and I will, listen, just tell you what I would do. There needs to be a complete infusion of new culture, of new expectation, of demanding that certain things are, it's just non-negotiable. If you're a young kid, Stanton, that's different. If you're a young kid, you're coming up and you're not hustling and you're not in the right spot backing up and you're not buttoned up fundamentally, you're either not playing for me, you're going to the minors till you fix it, or we're going to have a different conversation with ownership because this isn't going to fly here. And there are just too many examples where the Yankees are lackluster in things that will lose you games. And I want to give you a specific example from last night. We have talked about, and listen, this is unforgivable and it's never going to happen again. It sucks. Judge will never drop another pop-up. Yeah, I mean, Volpe will spike another ball in the ground, I'm sure, but he'll make that play 99.5% of the next 100% time that he's got a chance to make that play. The thing with Cole and Rizzo, probably never going to happen again quite like that. What was not said so far on this show, and this to me is all Boone. You got a pitcher out there who, in game one, which he absolutely, I don't care what anybody says, Aaron Boone colossally mismanaged game one. The Yankees lost the game because of their manager, period. And he pulled them, his ace, after 88 pitches. We've had that discussion. Now, and what did he say after the game, Sal? He was, quote, spent. Last night, 50 feet from your spot in the dugout. You're watching, chomping gum on the top step, watching this circus unfold. And you're watching Gerrit Cole huffing and puffing and watching this flushed face come over him, and he's tugging at his hat. You could tell he's just looking for a blow, a stool. No, you know who should have provided the stool? The manager should have provided the stool by having Blake go out and say, hey, listen, just give him a minute and a half to catch his breath and recalibrate. And for Aaron Boone, for Aaron, the manager, I don't need Rizzo for 2 seconds, for Aaron Boone to not go out there and see with his eyes three generations of baseball Boones. There's no generations of Tierneys in terms of the professional baseball players. I can promise you, I'm on my couch saying, go out there. Let him breathe. He's dying. He is dying a slow baseball World Series death. He's an ounce away from being done. Would you get out of the dugout and somebody go talk to him? And that's unforgivable, because that's not the game's moving too fast or should I pinch hit, a matchup analytically driven. That is a manager knowing what to do in the most crucial moment. So, with the option for 2025, again, all under the pretense that I own the Yankees, I would not bring Aaron Boone back. He would not be my manager in 2025. I got to change everything.
Okay, so let me just ask you this then.
Uh-huh.
If you had to change one, which one do you think would benefit the Yankees more? Changing the manager,
yep,
or the general manager?
Well, this is the interesting part of the question. Okay, because all the times this has come up on the show, and Cashman's been destroyed, yeah, by everybody, and Boone's been the ire of most people, me a little less, it's becoming more equitable now. This is where I've evolved, and this is where I think it's kind of equal. For me, it was always Cashman, because I know that Boone gets the roster.
Right.
And if you get, you know, a couple of guys who can't run, and you got to work around this, and this guy can only DH, and this guy's not a natural, I don't know, second baseman, yeah, or third, whatever it might be, you got to play the hand that you dealt. I understand that. And Dave Roberts is not even a good manager.
He's horrible. Don't even get me started. I don't care how many World Series wins. He's horrible.
Dunce Roberts,
I get it. Literally gives up on games.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Boone likes bowling. Roberts likes punting. Can you give me a manager here that actually likes baseball? I mean, Jesus. These lanes. And, I mean, it's ridiculous what these guys do. They're data applicators.
I'd like to find one of those managers and make him the new manager of the Yankees. Now, Roberts is not a good in-game manager. We know that, okay? To what degree? We could debate a little bit. Susan, push back. I'd push back a little, but it doesn't really matter now, because you're not, I don't think you're totally wrong at all. I think you're a lot more right than you're wrong.
That is not good.
I don't need to just debate to debate. And look at what happened. Who looked worse in this series?
Yeah.
It was Aaron Boone, man. And it's just, there's got to be a time, Sal, where you look at everything that you've done. You know, whether it's a marriage and you're 9-10 years in and you're like, it's not working out, you know, for the sake of both of us, we should probably get a divorce. Or a sports team that just isn't buttoned up and moving in the right direction. You know, change for change is not the right move. Change to enhance everything is. And to me, there is so many ways the Yankees could get better. And for the first time, I'm saying this way, that a lot of it, a lot more than I ever thought, is because of the manager, and I would move on.
Yeah, I still look at it like I would have moved on from both. And Boone was just, unfortunately for him, collateral damage in my scenario in 2021. I don't think the Yankees foundationally, fundamentally, organizationally do the right things to building a team. And I can trace it back to 2018. After the 2017 season, which came out of nowhere, getting to Game 7 of the ALCS, they fired their manager, moved on from their manager, brought in Giancarlo Stanton. At the time, this is 2018, you're going back a long time ago. I didn't like the move then because I didn't think it was a good fit to bring in another player who was similar to Aaron Judge at the time, a big power righty who's going to play the same outfield spot. That's not how you build a team. And that, to me, and along the way, you've seen how they've done this with different guys, whether it's Joey Gallo or whatever it may be, the analyst guys, even bringing in Rizzo, even Jazz. Like, all right, Jazz brings different stuff where he's athletic, but he's the same type guy where
he's my second baseman next year.
And he probably will be, but again, they went and got the star, the big name, as opposed, like, look at Jazz numbers career-wise. Does he bring a different element? Sure, like he's athletic and great athleticism, fast, he's got some pop. You can move him around, versatile, but he's still not a clean ball player, all-around ball player. He missed that play last night at 30, made an error of the game before. Like, man, again, those are just little things. I'm just talking about how building a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the Yankees' philosophy is the right philosophy how to build a team. A team. It's why I talk about the Mets, where you look at the Mets on paper, like, how's this team win any games? How are they getting through? They don't have the stars, but they got guys that play hard, and they play as a team. Sound fundamentally for the most part. The Yankees need to find a better balance of that. And when they've tried, it's just been not the right guys or just hasn't been good enough. They need to build a team, BT. Even the play where yesterday Volpe throws the one in the dirt to Jazz.
Think Jazz has to. You got to catch that ball.
Well, right.
But catch the ball.
You get on Volpe for the throw, Jazz for the catch.
Yep.
Look at Kike Hernandez. I'm pretty sure it was Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, it was.
Look at him running from second to third.
Busting.
Correct.
I know.
Now, it's something that goes overlooked. You don't see it in the box score.
Uh-huh.
But he's running his ass off to get to third base, where maybe other players on other teams, I'm not going to give specific examples, but you get the idea, would just run as opposed to running hard and putting pressure on them. And, or maybe guys couldn't run, like Giancarlo. Like, he's on your team. He got thrown out at home in this series. If he's on second base, that's great. He hit a ringing double. Mm-hmm. What happens in that spot? He gets thrown out at third. Because the guy doesn't have to force the throw because there's nobody running the ball.
He's not rushing, and he does get a good grip.
Correct. All those little things add up. Mookie Betts. He's a superstar that's not one-dimensional. And by the way, he did nothing in this series, but the ability to put the bat on the ball as opposed to strike out, not being an all-or-nothing hitter, and his speed helped that play happen. If he's not fast, if that's Giancarlo Stanton,
Or even if he is fast, but he doesn't use his speed and he takes it for granted.
Correct.
That's another, it's a different.
So there's two elements. Either you have the guys that actually physically can do it, or the guys that, like Gleyber, don't bust it out of the box.
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
see, that's on Boone, though. Yeah. And we've had that discussion a million ways sideways, but today it's just I've hit, you know, and it's not because they lost, and I'm not going to say in 3 days, no, I really would bring, but I understand very strongly that Aaron Boone will be back, I would imagine. I would not bring him back. And I'll give you another example. John Smoltz said this last night. It's a little teeny-weeny thing, but this is where Boone can say from the dugout, hey, get more. So Juan Soto's on first base. Remember when Smoltz was saying, well, he's got to get more of a lead here. That play, there could be a play at second base, and it could be out by, 16 inches, I think, is the numerical value.
Yeah,
16 inches, right? Well, I got news for you. You know, if there's a hot shot and the ball's deflected and it's not clean and by the time Edmund or whomever gets the ball, then you flip it a second, try to get the force. If you've got a good lead and an aggressive secondary lead, you know what? You might be safe. It's the World Series. That play, that situation is 90 feet from the bases, about 30 feet more, 120 feet away from Aaron Boone. All he has to say is one, and whatever signal you get more, whatever hand gesture. There's so many little things with the Yankees that it's unacceptable at this point.
It just is. And for me, I agree. We agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think the blame is that for me, I believe it's the players and the organization either not training these guys the right way or developing them the right way, or just the players not having it as opposed to the manager. Eric is in Clifton. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. I need you guys' take on this. Bottom six, Yanks retake the lead 6-5.
Yeah.
Top seven, Holmes, who's not let up a run all series, comes in, relieves Cole.
Yeah, he should save the game.
Strikes at the second.
I don't know why Holmes is not where I was going. You're right, Eric. It's the one thing for me last night we didn't get to yet. He's got to stay in that game. People are talking about Kane Lane should have went to Weaver. No.
Yeah.
Holmes should have been. I was actually shocked that Holmes wasn't back out there.
I'm with you, man. I'm like, and I had went to go look it up. He only threw 11 pitches the game before. Training, I mean, and you know he killed us the series before. He threw 42 in the last game and 33 in this game. And if you're thinking about saving him for game six, number one, there may not be a game six. Number two, you got to travel in a rest day the next day. And listen, I'm with you in terms of I think Roberts is not a very good manager, but he pushed his guy another 2 1/3 innings. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why Boone took your best asset out.
Excellent point, Eric.
Not to mention Walker Buehler coming in and getting the job done on 2 days' rest. He said he didn't throw a pitch till he got to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Not even like a long toss, nothing. He's like, let's go. It's World Series. I'm good.
He texted Roberts and the general manager, Friedman, saying, hey, if you need me tonight. And they did need him because Flaherty sucks. Flaherty couldn't get out of the second inning.
He's a mess.
Yeah, which, by the way, was predictable. Second time around with Flaherty, Yanks got to him. Like, I thought that would be the case. Now, was it to the, an inning in a third extent to where now you're taxing your bullpen? And the way Roberts uses it, it's every guy guy for an inning. Like, you get down to the seventh inning, I'm like, how the hell is he going to get through this? And they started talking about it with saying, well, this guy's available. I'm like, you can't go to Hudson in a one-run game after the way that he's worked in the last two. As a matter of fact, I would have started the eighth inning with Buehler. I didn't know what he had to give.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have gone another inning with Trinan. He did.
Yeah.
Somehow the Yanks let him off the ropes and Trinan got through. But back to the point that Eric made, I don't understand why Holmes wasn't allowed to come back out for the next inning.
Yeah,
didn't have an issue with that, or you did?
I didn't like the way he looked initially. I'm like, oh my God.
Right, but
he was hurt. Then he settled down and did the job. I was not, the Clay Holmes scares me. You know, I can't say that, and I trust Canely, so I know it didn't work out last night. I know, but I don't want to answer this from the purview of what I already know transpired.
That's fair.
I always want to give you what I'm thinking in the moment. And Clay's first, you know, 6, 7, 8 pitches, I'm like, oh boy, he's missing by a mile. And then he settles down a little bit. And Canely, I know he's changeup dependent. We all know the 77, 78 straight changeups. I got even Smoltz, hey, mixing the show me fastball just so that they could react to something different, which he really doesn't. Even with all that, I still felt good about Canely. I honestly did. Yeah, and he just didn't do the job.
At the time, I was surprised. Because you're right. Holmes first comes in the game, and he throws four straight balls, whatever, couldn't find the strike zone. But then once he did find the strike zone, and especially in a game where you're trying to get a little length there, like, you're going to use your second best arm, and maybe your, like, you could say what you will about the control. Holmes had a lively arm last night, where Weaver, to me, looked like he was toast.
Especially at the end, he did.
Yeah, and Holmes, he's their second best guy, whether you love him or not. And I don't love him, but he's your second best guy. You're only going to use him for one out in an elimination game, in a tight game like that. I had an issue with that. So, first guess, I'm with you there. He got, after walking Hernandez, he got Muncy, looked nasty. I thought for sure he'd be coming out that next inning. Boom, went with Canely. And what you saw, BT, is a guy who throws one pitch. It's a little different against the Royals and Guardians lineup as it is against the Dodgers.
Well, yeah, you're talking about Canely?
Canely.
I got news for you. Now, the numbers and the splits aren't quite as dramatic, but Holmes is pretty much a one-pitch pitcher, too.
Yeah.
Sinker.
Yeah, but
I know.
A soft changeup that looks like it's on a tee to where...
When I watch
Holmes, and he's on, you look at him and you say, this guy's nasty.
Yeah, I do.
When I watch Canely and he's getting guys out, I look at him, right or wrong, I look at him and say, how the hell aren't these guys
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Off on him. It didn't compute to me how they can't hit him.
I've always said, whether it was me trying to hit one or teaching kids or watching, baseball, I think the best pitch in baseball is a changeup. I've always thought
that. Right, but isn't it supposed to be because you
vary the speed.
Yeah,
no, I got you. But
changeup from what?
This one was 87.3, this one was 87.1. Yeah, massive disparity there. More like you really want like minimally 8 to 9 miles per hour difference fastball changeup. But I got you. The only thing that I would say is, while matter of fact, I was the first one to say it. I'm like, how can nobody be sitting on this changeup? Move up in the box, take away, and then Smoltz started, and I'm not trying to give myself credit, but I was on this a while ago, and then I'm like, move up in the box, expect the change. Now, I know that the dive and the drop is a lot more pronounced in the box than it looks on TV, but while we're all right with our assertions about it's 30,000 changeups in a row, had he not hit one, don't you think the fact that nobody really does tells you Dad, it's pretty good.
Well, maybe.
These are the best hitters in the world,
right, well,
dude.
Well, I mean, not on the Royals or Guardians.
But you know what I'm saying.
I got you. And look, by the way, that's I don't want to say that's nitpicking because it is a big decision. I was just surprised that he took Holmes out and went to Kainley there. BP and Sal back on the Fan. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019. World Series over. Dodgers win. Baseball season. Well, it was a good one in New York. It has come to an end. No World Series tickets to give away anymore, BT, but we do have Giants tickets to give away at this time tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. If you want to win some Giants tickets, we'll do a lot more football tomorrow. We'll have Baldy on later on today as well. 120 to talk some Jets and Texans, so we will get into the football.
I can't believe the Jets are on national TV tonight. I know we're going to get the calls,
wash down that Yankee game five loss, little Jets-Texans tonight.
Oh, my God.
Happy Halloween!
Yes, sir.
Dino is in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Listen, how does not the manager or the pitching coach go out and save Cole 17, 18 minutes on that mound? They all crapped in their pants. In basketball, it's called a timeout, guys. Stop the momentum. Nobody. They left him there to dry. Unacceptable. Boone is done in my book. I don't like his managerial choices. Done.
Oh, he's not done. He'll be back, Dino, and thank you for the call. I mean, you want him to be done, and we've been down this road before. Fire Cashman, fire Boone, Yankees, you know, get to the ALCS. Do you think, BT, that this is similar to 2022 in some ways?
2022 felt less sustainable, if I view it like the big picture, because they got to the ALCS,
right.
But I knew it was going nowhere.
Right. I do think that it is.
I don't think that it's completely different because it's not whole. It's not whole enough, nearly whole enough. I feel like, again, depending upon Soto, who we'll get to more thoroughly later in the show, but like if Soto's back, I can see more of a bridge to doing whatever. That 2022 team, I knew they were going nowhere.
Right, but think about it. So in 2022, they started out great, and you and I didn't believe in that team. We were at different spots, obviously, not doing the show together, but didn't believe in that team. Second half was not very good. Get to the postseason, win a postseason series, swept by the Astros. This team, again, I didn't really believe in. Were they better than 2022? Sure. But also the competition in the American League, not great. Having to go again through the Central. So it's almost like, and I'm not trying to take away getting to the World Series, but you know, they got to the ALCS in 2022, but it didn't feel...
No.
Okay, so
they got swept.
Right, so to me, I mean, they almost got swept here, and the way that they lost in Game 5, I think you could make a case where, even though they got there, like the Yankees will look at the results, and by the way, I took a screenshot of this, because it is like crazy when you actually look at the numbers. This is part of what the Yankees' problem is. They'll look at some of the numbers. Like the Yankees will look at this and say, we got to the World Series. We won a game. Like we should have won maybe two or three of those games. We're not as far off as you're making it seem.
Mm-hmm.
And my counter would be, yeah, but you were lucky to even been there to get there to begin with because of who you face and how you play. So the numbers overall for the series. Runs scored. Dodgers 25, Yankees 24. Average in the series, Dodgers 206, Yankees 212. Oddly enough, the one thing that everybody thought the Yankees had the advantage with, starters ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers 3.60, Yankees 4.76.
And that Rodon start obviously jacks it up.
Still not the Hill, too.
No, for sure.
Yeah, it's still not the reason they lost, but just it shows you like everybody, the Yankees. And then the bullpen ERA, Yankees 2.86, Dodgers 5.76.
I didn't realize that disparity. But so there was
numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, BT.
No, finish your thought.
Saying like those numbers show you that it wasn't that great a disparity. But if you watched, now I'm not saying it was like the biggest blowout I've ever seen, but if you watch, you could just see the Dodgers were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
Even with Ohtani doing nothing, Betts basically doing nothing, and those numbers being what they are.
And Muncy and their catcher, Smith, who's at least has some power. Okay, so if I heard you right, Dodgers 25 runs, Yankees 24. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, plus one LA. What I would like to know, because to me this is the most pertinent and interesting aspect of that stat, of the 25 Dodger runs, how many were directly connected to Yankee mistakes? And of the 24 runs that the Yankees scored, how many were directly connected to Dodger mistakes? I would imagine that, aside from starter ZRA,
right,
might be the biggest disparity of all the stats in the series. And that's the difference between the two teams.
Right. So my point is, overall, the Yankees will look at the numbers like they always do. They'll look at the results.
Yep.
Whether it's 2022, hey, we got to the championship series, what do you want us to do? Or 2024, hey, we got to the World Series, what do you want us to do? Like, you want us to completely blow it up? Yes, yes, I do. Look at the numbers. They weren't that bad. No, but you're missing it. You're just, something's missing. Mm-hmm. It's not as close as it may appear. At least that's how I feel.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. And I think it's harder as, you know, some of these other young teams build out.
And start to get better, right?
I don't think it's going to necessarily get easier. No, the Yankees have holes, no question.
Tony is in Bayshore. What's up? Tony's not there. Ken is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. What's up, Ken?
Hanging in, buddy. What's going on?
So I want to talk about Aaron Judge, but just talking about like that little hustle factor. Freddie Freeman running out an infield hit, right, with his hurt leg, is just kind of like the difference. But that's not what I called about.
Well,
what
you talking
two nights ago?
Yes, beating out the double play. Oh, yeah. I mean, how does that happen?
Right, like, you know, it's just the hustle factor that Sal was talking about, busting ass down the line. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Aaron Judge. So it's interesting because, obviously, he's been on the schneid as far as his postseason performance. And last night he came out and hit a blast. And then, which is completely forgotten with all good reason, he made a sick catch,
mm-hmm,
right, against the wall. Like, no one's even discussing it because it got entirely undermined by his flub. And then I was thinking, like, as history goes on, will that go down perhaps as, like, the worst defensive play? To me, it reminds me,
yes,
of Buckner. And it's,
yes,
it's interesting. It's also the Red Sox unraveled. It wasn't just Buckner.
I think this is worse than Buckner, Ken. I honestly do, because the thing with Buckner, you got to remember this. Buckner was out there because his manager, McNamara, wanted him to be in the celebration because he was a vital piece of that team that year. And his ankles were jacked. He couldn't move, but it was more of a sentimental move. I think Stapleton, if I have that name right.
Yeah,
I think Stapleton,
yeah,
was the defensive. Okay. But he left Stapleton on the bench, and he kept him out there to reward his guy, which on a lot of levels I do understand. But why Buckner's is more acceptable, number one, he was jacked up. Number two, there's more elements to the play. You got Mookie, who flies, cooking down that line. And Buckner's back, obviously playing no doubles defense, guarding the line. He's not even with the bag. He's back. So he's got to get, I don't know if I had to guess, 8 to 10 feet to first base. He's already hanging by a thread. Mookie's flying. All Judge has to do, now he made the play more complicated by looking at first base. And was that, that was her name. That was Kiki. He's going, no, he's not tagging up. The ball, like, if anybody's ever played softball, there's the 9 conventional positions. Then there's this position in softball called shallow center field. He's the shallow center fielder. They're basically behind second base. That's kind of where the ball was. Not quite that much, but there is no chance that he's going. And unless I had this wrong, he was not running on the play. It was just, all right, routine. Well, I don't think he was running. Now, was he running?
I don't think he was running on the play. But even if he was,
it doesn't matter. He just, I think it's worse than Buckner.
Is it just Judge trying to do too much then in that spot?
100%, evidently.
Right, because we look at it and say, well, what are you supposed to say about that play? How does that happen? Well, what happens is maybe Judge is feeling, I hate even using the term pressure because I don't think it's pressure about Judge, but maybe just feeling like it's the World Series, I need to do more. And like over, instead of just simplifying, hey, it's a lazy fly ball to center,
yep,
catch it and move on,
mm-hmm,
like any other player would do it any other time, he's amped up and locked in and World Series and, oh, well, let me see if I can get this guy off first, as opposed to just simplifying and forgetting that you got to catch the ball first. Like, no, you don't need to try to be a hero,
yeah,
and pick the guy off at first base. He's not going anywhere. You don't need to double him up. Cole's dealing. Catch the damn ball.
But okay, but those are two different, I want to make sure I got you right, yeah, on this. So, because those are two different things, at least, unless I misheard it. Do you think that he was trying to do too much, or do you think he was, because of the World Series, like frazzled and like what,
no,
not locked in?
Because, no,
which
I think
one
trying
is
to do too much.
Okay, because I can make the case now. If he didn't go yard early, if he doesn't make that sick catch in left center field, then I might. I still wouldn't, because it's such an,
right,
easy routine play for anybody beyond the age of 9. Honestly, I would say that it's not him being overwhelmed or playing tight. I think maybe he was emboldened. He, in his own mind, he's like, hey, I'm cooking, man. I went yard. I'm changing the narrative. I basically slammed into a fence and made a sick play, and I'm going to try to keep this thing moving and be a hero. And I know
it's the same thing, right? Try to be a hero.
It's kind of the same thing, but he's not a selfish player, so I know that that sounds like a selfish motivation, and to me, it's not derived from selfishness. But when you say, hey, hero bowl, you just think that, right? It's not.
No.
It's not. It's just him maybe feeling himself for the first time in a while, right, saying, I'm an Uber athlete. Maybe this guy's a little further off the bag than I think, and I got a rocket for an arm, and let's go. I'm getting two.
Exactly. I think you nailed it. Getting carried away in some of the success and fueling himself a little bit. There's no excuse for it. No. Mark is in Manhattan. What's up, Mark?
I can't believe that happened.
Me neither. And it was worse than Buckley.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Point. Thank you for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
Hey. So one other thing I want to talk about Judge, but one other reason why I think it's worse than Buckner is because the Red Sox still had one more game after that gaffe, right, to be able to win the World Series. Here, yeah, he lost the game and lost the World Series with the error. So it's a little bit worse in that regard.
Well, if you start bringing in the circumstance, like if you just take the play for what it was, this to me was a billion times worse than Buckner. BT just laid it out before for all those reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
If you start factoring in the circumstances, the one that hurt more was Buckner because they lost that game and their opportunity to win the World Series. He makes that play. They win the World Series. Yeah, right. They're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, it's over. Right. That's true.
Was the game already tied at that point, actually? So, no, they wouldn't have won the
Series. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the game was tied.
Yeah, the game was tied at that point. But, you know,
when Kevin Mitchell scored the wild pitch?
The more pivotal moment in the game.
Yeah, still, in that, right. You don't lose that game right there and your chance to win the World Series. You push the extra innings, whatever it may be. Right, the game was already tied on the wild pitch. But still. Like the Yankees were down. No, it's okay. I'll just finish the thought. The Yankees were down already 1-3 in the series. So to me, the circumstance was way worse for Buckner. The play was worse for Judge. Go ahead.
Yeah. So as far as Judge goes, I mean, I've been on hold, and an hour and a half into this, and I'm listening to the morning shows, and I'm listening to you guys, and I'm just hearing Yankee, and it's just like, and BT, you laid it out nicely about Boone. But, like, we're blaming Boone, we're blaming this guy, we're blaming Volpe, we're blaming some guy called a little while ago, blaming the pitching coach for not. I mean, this comes down, in my opinion, to one guy, and that's Aaron Judge. Even in game one, yes, Boone didn't make the right calls, but did Judge not come up in the top of the ninth with two on, with a chance to do it? And it's year after year that he continues to not perform. He did that stupid thing when he signed with Jordan, where he did the thing like Jordan with the rings. The guy could not be the more opposite of Michael Jordan than any athlete that I've seen that performs at such a high level in the regular season. If this was any other sport, a Nick guy or a guy on the Jets, we would be killing this
Mark,
guy.
Mark, let me ask you a question. Hold on. I got a real question for you.
Yeah.
I respect what you're saying. I get it. And I also, I don't know if you missed it, but pertaining to the play, I said, hey, that's the most unforgivable defensive play in the history of the Yankees. Okay, in their playoff history. So I did get on them. If somebody calls the Yankees, let's say Soto goes to the Mets or goes to the Giants and Soto's out of the equation. Somebody calls the Yankees, the Cubs, I don't know, whoever doesn't get Soto, and they say, you know what? We want Aaron Judge. We will pay the entire freight. We're not looking at you for you to lap off any of the money. So it basically sounds like you're saying, but I want your answer, you want to kind of move on from Judge. I mean, what else do you do at this point?
What I'm saying is that you need to get a player that has the performance factor in the playoffs because it's clear that we've given Judge year after year
Did it. So they just won Soto.
Right. I mean, you can't find a better one. And thank you for the call, Mark.
The age of 19, he hit 410, whatever the hell he hit with the Nationals, won the World Series.
They purposely went and got the best player that they could get, not just the best player available, but the best player in the postseason as well, which is why I fell in love with Soto in 2019 for what he did with the Washington Nationals. And you saw what he did again in the postseason. Juan Soto's the same person he is on opening day as he is on the final day of Game 5 of the World Series. And that's a special player. Judge hasn't proven to be that yet, but you can't say, well, they need to get somebody else. They just got the best that they could get. And even if they keep him, it might not be enough. It wasn't enough this year. I don't think, though, I'm not going to go nuts on Judge. Now, that play, let's say if you eliminate that play from center field last night, but they still lose the game.
Okay.
It's the home run last night, but they lose that game. Anyway,
I
thought was going to happen, by the way. We felt like Judge was going to, at some point, he was going to start to score, but it was a lot of other things. So How would you evaluate his series then? Would you say that Judge was the main culprit, or just because of that error now he's going to feel the vitriol of fans?
I honestly still think I would say Boone was number one. He set the tone for the game one decisions, as I laid out a million times. I would get on Judge. Hey, he can't escape the wrath entirely. He's Aaron Judge, making $400 million.
No, but if he doesn't make
the MVP twice.
But if he doesn't make that bad play in center.
No, I know what you're saying. So, like,
do
if
we
the
think
Yankees
he has
lose,
an all-time bad series? Like,
I mean, what's different from him and Winfield?
Yeah, I mean,
except Winfield hit 45, so literally there's a slight statistical difference. But if the Yankees are losing five and he's got the home run, even with the home run and the great play last night, but he doesn't drop the ball in center,
maybe
the energy and the ire is a little less vitriol. I don't have any vitriol towards Aaron. Right. I love and respect the hell out of him, but you got to call for what it is. It's the most colossal gaffe I've ever seen as a Yankee. But you got to be honest in your assessments of the, certainly with the superstars, he wouldn't escape my wrath. I would never make it personal, but he hit 130, struck out half the time.
I'll put it
Yankees
this way.
Yankees lost.
Yeah, and it's fair. I'll put it this way. When I'm evaluating the Yankees as a whole, they've got a lot of problems. Aaron Judge, to me, is the bottom of the list.
I agree with that. So that's what makes it tricky. But now if he, so that's the big picture. But if we do, and we did, and we always will, a micro analysis of each game. Even the games in the previous series. How many times did he get up? First and second, nobody out. How many times did he come
really
through? Basically none.
Right.
So
starting with the Royals series, you're
that's
right.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
Yeah, you could have tacked on and made those games easier.
Sal, it's been 3 weeks of somebody who does not look anything remotely like Aaron Judge outside of the guy who played for 45 minutes last night or an hour and a half before he dropped the pop-up.
The problem for him is he set such a standard in the regular season.
I get it.
And then in the postseason, the short series, good pitching. The numbers are nowhere near where they were. I'm not saying he played great in the postseason. He didn't, obviously. And the mistake last night is unforgivable. But even if you take that mistake out, an unforgivable mistake, take that out, how would you evaluate his postseason? Not very good, but I don't think that, for me at least, I wouldn't be blaming Judge. I just don't think the Yankees are built well enough organizationally as a team.
I agree with that. But, you know, before the home run, and we'll get back to these calls, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. For me, If you strip away the home run and the catch and also the drop, and I evaluate his World Series performance, F. And when you're the captain of the Yankees and you are one of the most transcendent athletes here or anywhere in my lifetime, and you play for the Yankees and you deliver an F, it is what it is.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. You know my Uncle John, I told you, diehard Yankee fan.
I know him well, yeah.
I had to send the text. You know, the
rub it in a little bit.
I didn't do it last night. I was basking in the glory last night, just sitting there watching the Dodgers celebrate. So I texted
What'd
him today.
Him?
Now remember, I'm doing this just to tweak him because he's a relentless you-know-what buster.
Yeah,
like, he just doesn't stop.
He does. I could tell.
So I go, at least the Mets got to game six, laughing emojis. He goes back, yeah, okay, well, the Dodgers are a dynasty. These teams are going to be playing in the World Series the next 3 years, which means the Mets are going to do bleep. And I hope you guys get Soto because he sucks, bro.
Oh,
Judge makes him look so much better. Can't feel the bleeping ball. Here we go already. Bring up the kid, Spencer Jones.
Oh, he's reaching.
There we go.
Hey, that's my favorite move right there.
Put him with Dominguez.
Man after my own heart.
Dominguez and Judge. Yanks will be just as good next year. You'd rather get rid of Rizzo, get rid of Soto, use the money, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so he's already got his plan plotted out. So that was you.
Ooh,
and I said, I didn't text. Nobody was really hitting. Nobody. I
left
appreciate
you alone. Yeah.
I was surprised you didn't. Actually,
I didn't think
that you would. I figured you would obviously have some fun today. I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done it
and
to you.
And today's not over yet, by the way.
I understand. We'll get to Soto. I understand. I said big boy shoulders. We have fun.
Yeah, I know.
After last night, I'm here for it. It's all good. So when Judge goes yard, I simply tweet, greatness doesn't stay on ice forever. When he dropped, I'm going to take you through a little byplay off that. As the tweets then start coming in after he drops the pop-up, now I get the melting references because I use the word ice. Well done by a lot of people out there, I'm sure, Met fans. So the first thing, greatness doesn't stay on ice forever. I have a couple of exclamation points. I'm feeling good. Yanks are rocking. The next one, I want more, not enough blood is trickling.
Boy, I saw that one.
So now, of course, once the Yankees collapse and hemorrhage in their fifth inning, they use that against me. Hey, you need a napkin? How's that blood okay coming down your head? Now they use the blood against me.
Oh, man.
Right? And again, it's funny. The next thing, that now I go to this. The single most embarrassing and pathetic one-half inning of baseball I've ever seen in my life. Absolute and unmitigated bleep show. And I cursed. Yeah. Bleep show. And then, you know, there was like one or two more. And I'm like, I'm going to sleep, dude.
I saw those and I was like, God. And that made me need the Dodgers to win even more. And yeah, what a just. Look, even if you thought the Dodgers are going to win that game, the way that that happened.
All-time pain. From a Yankee perspective. Like Yankees have had some lean seasons, depending on how old you are. Obviously, the colossal collapse, 3-0, the Red Sox. I mean, there's been the broken bat base hit up them, but it's the World Series, you know, and 9-11, that hurt for a different reason. Yeah. But the Yankees, like, they stole, like, a script from the Jets. Like, this was a devious plot twist here by the Yankees, who usually don't do this.
And there's a lot of people to blame. Sharon is in Staten Island. What's up, Sharon?
Hey, guys.
Judge is to blame. Judge is the
top of the problem, not the bottom of the problem.
Okay.
He's the heart and soul. He's the lifeblood of the clubhouse. He's the inspiration for the rest of the guys. Well, look what this is no good. He's not a winner. Not a winner. He's a self-winner. He's good for himself. He hits his 60 home runs. Good for him. He'll get his MVP. Good for him.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Well, it's not. But what's going to happen? The answer is nothing.
Nothing. He's stuck. We're stuck.
He doesn't come
on.
No, she said we're stuck.
I don't want to stay with him. Like, 7 more years. The Soto wants to win. So if you have your captain, your leader, can't get you to win, he's not taking you there.
That's a little harsh, but I got you. I think it's a little harsh. I mean, I don't know. If this was, and there's been other New York players who just couldn't get it done, baseball's unique. I'm not making an excuse for Judge. As I said, single most unforgivable defensive play in the history of the New York Yankees. I stand by that. We've already put it out, of course. Instagram's there. I own it.
Right.
I mean that, right? But, you know, to me, Aaron Judge, go to our boy Ewing. Like, to me, Ewing's past him. He's past Lundqvist. Well, Lundqvist did pitch some shutouts, just didn't get the op. That's a closer one. You can still be all-time and relegated to a different spot on the list, but the error just changes the optics. It feels, it's one thing to strike out, another thing to drop a pump.
Now, like, he may have had to win one anyway.
Yeah.
Now he's got to win one.
Yeah, otherwise, I know what you mean by that.
That's like forever stained legacy.
Yeah.
What I will say, and it just hit me there as I'm hearing Sharon go off on it and you teeing off on Judge, I'm not going to go as harsh on Judge. Like, look, it was an unforgivable play for sure. But it, to me, also goes back to the way they built this team. Judge isn't even a center fielder. And the Yankees have gall to think they could get away with things like that and go win a World Series. They think that just hitting home runs and having stars are going to overcome those little things. It's not how you build a team. He's a corner outfielder. They went and got another corner outfielder. Like the same thing that they did with Stanton, then they did with Soto. I know why they did it, but then out of necessity, remember Judge was supposed to play maybe left field, Dominguez in center, so Dominguez can't play defense, so now you have Judge in center field.
Yeah.
And like this goes back to last year where Judge was moved to center field. He shouldn't be a center field. Period. And he's not bad out there. Obviously, last night aside, but he's not bad in center field. But he's not a center fielder. He's a corner outfielder who they've been asking to get by and play in center field, and overcoming a lot of things with him in center field. At some point, you're playing with fire. They got burned, and now it's not an excuse why he didn't catch that. Like you said, Colt would have caught that ball last night. My wife might have caught that ball last night. Like that's a play that just anybody makes. But ultimately, if you actually have an actual center fielder like Harrison Bay, whatever, pick one, they're catching that ball.
Sal, if it's up to me, he's not even playing outfield at all next
season.
He's playing first base. transition for me starts now. That's what I would do.
But you see what I'm talking about, building a team.
And his metrics, you said he's not a very, you know, he's not bad in center. And I kind of have felt the same way, but the defensive numbers actually say that he's quite bad. He was good and right, but the analytics, the advanced numbers on him are not kind at
all. I thought
all.
He was great and right. And
He was. Yeah, he was great and right.
What are you going to do? Soto, he's not even good at right, but he can't play anywhere else. You're not in
spacious.
Him.
Yeah, I don't you think spacious him, left field. No, that's not a good spot for Soto if he stays here.
Can't have him DH because guess who?
Not Stanton. No, I don't listen.
I mean, like, that's part of the problem with building a team the way that they do.
God, they got a lot to fix, man. They it's got just, a lot to fix.
People overlook it because, Sam did in the postseason. Oh, look at Soto. Yeah, I get it, but it's just not how you build a team. And little things, guys playing out of position, end up costing you.
Question, and we'll do this fast.
Yep.
When are we getting the Soto? Let's stop beating around the bush here.
12:20.
I want the conversation. Let's go.
12:20. I want a little more Yankee. Let's get a little more Yankee wrap
more
up
blood.
Here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.